preach a message to you that's it's a little bit it may not be considered first or second grade. It may be pushing the junior high level. It may even be going to the higher level of Christianity. And sometimes there's a temptation not to preach a message like this, because today's Christianity, today's most of the preaching you hear today is very simple, dumbed down preaching. But I don't believe it has to be that way. I believe that there are people here that hunger and thirst after righteousness. There are people here that want to know God. There's all different kinds of preaching. And I've never tried to be known as any particular kind of preaching. I not only do I want to preach what God wants me to preach, but I try to deliver the message the way that God would have it to be delivered. There's to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. And I mean, if needs be, we'll get with it. We'll stand on the top of the pulpit and run around the pews, or maybe just stand here and just preach to you and just open the Word of God and let God work. More than, I don't think preaching ought to be a show.
No.
I don't think it ought to be just where you're trying to, I think there's more than one way we can try to be ear ticklers. Amen. I think a lot of times preachers don't even think about it, but they'll preach. I'm just talking to you as a church right now. They'll preach what they know the people in the church like to hear. And sometimes it's hard things. I mean, it's, I'm not talking about compromising. I mean, they'll preach for the sake of getting amens, when really we come to church. And it's good sometimes, and I think the preacher ought to let you know where he stands on things. But
amen.
There's lots of things that we agree on already. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
There's lots of things that we agree on. I believe as Christians, I believe all Christians that read the Word of God and are influenced by the Word of God and filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe we all agree on the fact that abortion, aborting babies, is murder. I think we agree on that, unless
right.
We're influenced
amen.
By the world. I think we would agree on a lot of subjects like that today. And I think as Christians, it's a shame for us to have our opinions, our minds influenced by the world. And it's good to come to church and know where the preacher stands.
Yeah, that's right.
But a lot of times we can become infected by just wanting to hear about other people's faults. Mm-hmm. And we fail to embrace preaching that gets right down to the inside of us, that would lift us to be the Christians God would have us to be. And I think a lot of times pastors fail to preach that and want to just try to preach some message and get a bunch of amens. And yeah. So I may not get a lot of amens today. I'm letting you know right now, this may not be the most popular message you ever heard, but it will be something this morning that is greatly needed among God's people. I want to preach to you this morning. In just a minute, we'll have you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. When you find Matthew, I don't think it'll be too hard. If you can find Matthew in your Bible, you should also be able to find Luke. They're right close to one another. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let's read together, and since we're going to turn from one to the other, just remain seated. Matthew 23:23. Jesus speaking here says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Well, now, for me to use that word is questionable, maybe. But when Jesus uses that word, we ought to listen. Amen?
Amen.
He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now, you'll see the same, and you'll, I think, get a better understanding of that if you read Luke 11, verse 42. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. There are no contradictions in the Word of God.
Amen.
But God gives us references as commentary to the Word of God. I read a commentary this week. It's one of my favorite statement I've read in a commentary. The commentator said, I'm not going to say anything about that verse. I don't want to mess it up. Just let this pray and let God show you what that means. Amen. Now listen, Luke 11, verse 42, the Bible says, But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Dear Heavenly Father, help us this morning, dear Lord God, as we preach. God, give us ears, once again, give us ears to hear. Dear Lord God, that it might, the Word of God might revolutionize our life. Lord God, lift us from where we are and put us where You'd have us to be now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey.
Probably one of the statements that I've heard, and I've always, and I've heard it in preaching, and almost half, it was half kind of amusing, a little bit of a joke, I guess, when I heard it, but to me, it's just stuck in my mind, and I suppose it was, the preacher was talking about an old Southern preacher, and if my thinking is right, it was a Southern black preacher. Boy, as he preached, I mean, he'd get with his preaching, but one day he prayed. He said, Dear Lord, he said, Lord, please help us. He said, Dear God, he said, help us, Lord, with the sins of commission. He said, But Lord, he said, you know it's the sins of omission that none got us whooped, Lord. Help us, Lord, with the sins of omission. Well, I heard that, and the preacher kind of did, the people chuckled and laughed. But, well, I've thought about that a lot of times in my Christian life. I think about the sins of omission. To omit means to leave something out, to ignore it, to overlook it, to act as though it's not important. Did you fellas put your bikes up last night? Did you? Good. So you didn't omit to do that, right? That's what that means, to take care of. There's the little things here about this. In one way, I asked them that question, you put your mic up. In one way, there's a sin of commission there. If they didn't do it, then they disobeyed the order that they were told. Mm-hmm. But also, if they know that I want them to put their bikes up, and I didn't tell them to do it, they have a choice to make. They cannot do it, and if they don't do it, they haven't committed anything wrong. They have, because I didn't tell them to do it. But if they know that I want them to do it, and they do it because they know that I want them to do it, even though I didn't tell them to do it. Come here, Jeremy. Just for a minute. I just want to tell you this for a minute. If I look at Jeremy in the eye and say, Jeremy, I want you to go put your bike up. Now, he has a choice to make. If I tell him to do that, he goes and does it. He's obeyed. But if he doesn't do it, he's committed a transgression by not obeying what I said. Mm-hmm. But if I say to him, if I say, Jeremy, I said, Travis, come up here a minute. If I say, boys, I want you to make sure you guys put your bikes up. Don't leave bikes laying out here in the road. I don't like to see these bikes laying out here, and I hope you boys never do that. I hope you will always make sure you. I'm just telling them what I want. I'm telling them that I think it'd be a good idea. And I'm kind of telling them that I think it's a bad idea to leave their bikes out. And so they're going to go ride their bikes. And these boys say, you know what? Let's go in and eat. Let's I'm tired of riding. So they throw their bike down right in the middle of the road, all right? So, but then they take about 5 steps and they stop and say, wait a minute. Didn't somebody tell us it'd probably be a good idea to put our, didn't someone mention that it would be a good idea to put our bikes up? They said, yeah. Well, now they have a choice to make. They can say, well, you know, just, you know, your dad, I mean, just Travis there. Who cares what he says? I mean, why would we want to do it but just because he said it? So they'll just leave their bikes laying there. Or they could say, you know, I like that guy. I respect him. Mm-hmm. You know, his word means something to me. Mm-hmm. And he didn't tell us we had to put our bikes up, but If he comes in here and sees him laying here, it's probably he's not going to be real happy. And he probably would be happier if we went ahead and put him up, because he did kind of say that would be the good thing to do. Let's just go ahead and put our bikes up, even though he didn't tell us we had to do it. Thank you, fellas. Now listen to me just for a minute. The Bible is full of commandments of God. The Lord tells us that we ought to keep His commandments. And I want to give you a little something here. We'll go back and forward some. But I want to say this to you, that the fear of God works in us to keep us from committing sin against God. Amen? I taught Thursday night on sin, and all sin is against God.
Right.
And a lot of times as Christians, we get complacent with our sin and we just continue to do something. And we don't even stop and think about the fact that we're sinning against God. And as Christians, our sins are all forgiven. They're buried in the deepest sea. But our sin will separate us from God and hurt our walk with God and hurt our relationship with Him. But listen, as a child of God, I grew up in my home. My dad was not afraid to deal with me as a father deals with a son. My dad would say certain things to me, like, shut up. And he didn't just say it to be saying it. I know some people say, oh, you should never say that. Well, he said it whenever he needed to. Whenever I run my mouth too much and I've said too much, he'd look at me and he'd say, now be still, that's enough. Sometimes he'd say it different ways. Sometimes he would have to illustrate to me what would happen if I didn't obey him. You say, did your daddy ever whip you? Yeah. And my mom did too. Amen. Hey, listen. I mean, she didn't always use a belt. She just hit me with whatever she had if she had to. I mean, listen. Hey, it wasn't a fun thing to have a switch or a belt or whatever else. There were certain things I didn't do because I feared retribution if I broke the commandment that was given to me. Amen. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong today with us as Christians. And listen, matter of fact, there's a whole lot right with us as Christians saying, you know what? I'm not going to do this because God said don't do it. And because God said don't do it, I fear God. And I'm not going to break the commandment because God said don't do it. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Someone says, well, I'm saved. Since I'm saved, God's not going to send me to hell. My sins are all paid for. I'll just go ahead and do it, and God will understand. Brother, listen, there's a whole lot of people today living their life in wickedness. I mean, the folks today, brother, listen, they live together and don't bother to get married and just say, well, God right. understands. Hey, they fear the government. They fear losing a check more than they fear the Almighty God. There's right. something wrong with the society when it fears man more than it fears God. The Bible says right. the fear of man bringeth the snare. And we as God's people need to have a holy, reverential fear of God. That there's some things we do not do simply because God's Word said don't do them.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Now, my dad died when I was about 27 or 28 years old. Now, I want you to understand something else. By the time I was 27 or 28 years old, I knew a lot about my dad. I had watched him, observed him, and listened to him. There were a lot of things that my dad didn't like and did like. I learned those things and I tried my best to do what I thought he wanted me to do because I loved him and I wanted to please him. I worked with a fellow in Bible college and people said, man, that guy's hard to work for. I mean, boy, listen. And someone asked me one time, they said, how do you work for him? How in the world do you work for him? He's so hard to work for. I said, no, not really. I said, just you get to know him. You do what he wants you to do and try to do right. And it's not that big of a deal. One time I used some of his tools. I put them back up and they was a little bit dirty. He asked me about it. He said something like, why did you put my tools up dirty? And I said, I won't do it again. There's another fellow that I knew in Bible college, Brother Phil Sally, one of my best friends in the world. It was his job to get jobs for other people. I remember being in his office one time. He had a ball bat in his office. I remember in his office, he was about ready to use that ball bat on a boy one time because he got him a job and he got fired and got in trouble. And boy, listen, they were scared to death of that fellow. I mean, he was rough. I mean, listen, he would talk tough and he would say things to some of you and say, man, he shouldn't say that. I mean, listen, those guys, they were scared. If you were in chapel and they said so-and-so report to Brother Sally's office, that was like saying, you're dead. Yeah. I mean, listen, hey, but can I tell you, and I'll say this, I mean, the first time I got to talk to him, I said, man, I like this guy. And I've been to his house. I've talked to him.
Listen, and I consider him a friend. One time he asked me to go with him to a father and son chili thing they had. Well, listen, I was ready to go. I walked down the steps 35 seconds late. And he had to circle around one time. And I got in the car and he said, "Where was you?" He said, I don't like people being late. I said, "I don't like being late either." I said, "I'm sorry." I felt bad. I did some other work for him one time. Well, listen, he was quick to just say, "Hey, don't do it that way." I mean, listen, I wanted to. It bothered me more that I had not done what I was supposed to do than the fact that I had failed to please him. Why? Because I loved him. Amen. Now, listen to me. You can live your Christian life one of two ways. You can live for God because God says, "Do it, don't do it." Or you can live for God because you love God. And you can learn to do what God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen, the fear of God will work to keep us. Listen, the commission of sin will bring chastening from God upon His children. I want you to understand that. I love my son over there. Amen? And I would love for him to someday love me enough that he would want to do the things I tell him to do.
That's right.
I would love for him to someday love me so much that he wakes up in the morning and he cannot wait to get the trash and take it out and put it in the can. But until that day comes, I want him to know that Mama and I said, "Take the trash out, and you better do it or you might be in the can." Amen. You see, Bridget, how can it be a command and a choice at the same time? Oh, you can choose to obey the command because you love the one that gave the command. You know, people say to me all the time things like, "Well, if I'm a Christian, do I have to do this? I've never met anybody that loved God that asked that question. Because if you love God, you want to do. I mean, you get this book. I mean, people say, "Well, do I have to do such? Does the Bible say I have to do that?" But listen, hey, when you love God, hey, marriage isn't that. I mean, you don't say, "Boy, I love my wife," and your wife say, "I love him," and you say, "Well, do I have to kiss her?" Well, you want to if you're right, yeah. Amen.
Right.
But listen, I'll leave that one alone. I want you to understand this, that there are many, 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 many are the commands of Scripture.
That's right.
People will say to you, "I don't want to live that Christian life. There's so many rules." Well, guess what? They're right.
That's right.
Hey, this book, I'm not going to lie to you. This book, there's more than 10 commandments. People say we have to keep the 10. There's a whole lot more than 10 commandments. Than
yeah.
There's a lot of them. Guess what, though? You can't keep all of them. Only Christ kept the commands of God.
That's right.
The reason why there are so many commandments of God, and throughout the course of the Bible, God increased them. Uh-huh. That the Bible says, "But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Amen? But listen, and God saw fit to make sure man would come short. Fellas, come up here to get just a minute. I got to have you some good illustrations up here. All right? I'm glad you got. Stand right here. All right, listen. I want you to jump from right here where you are. I want you to jump to right here. Can you do it? Jump. See if you can jump. All right? Wait, let me make it easier. All right? Now I want you to jump past my foot. Jump past my foot. Can you do it? Do it. 1, 2, 3. Good job. Can you do it? Jump past my foot. 1, 2, 3. All right. Don't kick me, man. Now listen. They did what I asked them to do. They satisfied the request that I had for them. All right? Listen, guys. I got another one for you. Now I want you to stand where you're at and jump past my foot. You can't do it, can you? You see, that's what God did. Listen, God gave Adam an easy command. He failed in that command. So what did God do? Make it easier? No, He added more. If you'll study your Bible, you'll find out that the reason why God added more was because He didn't want one man to ever think that he could somehow or another satisfy all the commands of God. Amen? But He wanted him to know that there's someone that could.
Right.
And Jesus Christ made a difference for us. And God said, "I want you to jump over here." A man says, "I can't do it." And Jesus said, "Ah,
I can take you.
Come here. Ah, looky there." So that now I'm standing on the other side and I can rejoice and jump up and down and say, "Praise God. I couldn't do it myself, but Jesus did it for me." Amen.
Yeah.
Well, to make me want to love God and live for Him and serve Him, because there was a chasm deep and wide and I couldn't get across it. I I couldn't do enough good works, and Jesus Christ had to come and pick me up and put me on the other side.
That's right.
That's every one of you saved this morning. You're saved because Jesus put you on the other side.
That's right.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A lot of people try. Thank you, fellas. You can have a seat until I'm ready for you again, all right? Don't get too comfortable down there. But listen, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us so that He could pick us up from our sin and set us on a solid rock and establish our going for it and put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God.
Amen.
See, I can live my life over here in fear. And listen, fear is a part of it. But thank God, Jesus Christ fulfilled all those commands, the ones I couldn't do. There's a whole lot of them I couldn't do, amen? Mm-hmm. But Jesus Christ did them all. Not once did Christ commit sin. Now listen to me just for a minute. Had Jesus Christ lived His 33 and a half years on this earth, never sinned, tempted in all points like as we are, had He lived His life and then went and ascended back to heaven, None of us would have salvation.
That's right.
You say, but Jesus didn't do all that. He kept the law. He satisfied the demands of God. Yeah, but there was lawbreakers. And somebody had to satisfy the penalty against them.
Somebody had to pay it.
The Bible says that He's the just one. Also, it says He's the justifier. Amen. You see, Jesus not only spanned the gap and did it and made a way of salvation for us all, but then He went back to Calvary, and He who knew no sin, He became sin
for us. Amen.
You see, the Christian life is more than just making up a list and checking it twice, not being naughty, but being nice. The Christian life is more than just not doing a bunch of stuff wrong. The Christian life is more than just walking around and saying, boy, looky here, I've never done that, and I never do this, and so-and-so does that, but I'll never do that. And boy, listen, I'm just somehow another. Jesus did all that for me, amen. He satisfied the demands of God's anger and wrath and fury. He suffered for me. He died on Calvary for me. He satisfied God's punishment for sin.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I'm saved, then I'll just go ahead and do whatever I want to do because He already paid for it. Oh, no.
No.
Because entereth the love of God.
Yeah.
Dios is amor. Right? What we learned down there at the end of the day? Listen, God is love. Listen to me just for a minute. He fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled the law and imparted grace to us that He might manifest His righteousness in us.
Right.
Let me real quickly tell you about a day that's coming someday called the judgment seat of Christ.
Yep.
That judgment seat of Christ is not about my good works or your good works. It's about the fact that our works will be tried by fire, and that the unrighteous works will be gone. They'll be accomplished nothing. And all my good works and all your good works will be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
But then no sooner than they're rewarded to us, we'll reward them to the rightful one. And that's Jesus Christ. You see, because when He saved me, listen to this. He said, Romans 4:8, and then Psalm says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Or charge.
Said He won't lay it against my charge. He won't charge it to me. God will not impute sin against me.
That's
what
right.
does He do? Now that I'm saved, He imputes righteousness.
That's
He
it.
Imputed first of all His righteousness. And he dares not write down any sin against me, because if I stood at the judgment seat of Christ and there was one sin against me, the justice of God would demand that I be cast into hell forever and ever. But Jesus Christ died on the cross so that I could stand before God justified. No sin on my record. Amen.
That's right.
because Jesus bore all my sin. But when I stand the judgment seat of Christ, what is it there? The good deeds that Christ has done in me and the good deeds that Christ has done in you.
That's the one, Chuck.
Thank God for that. Now listen.
Amen.
You see, when God saved me, He wanted me to serve Him. Listen to me. Was Jesus teaching here in these verses, was He teaching against tithing?
No, sir.
Some of you was hoping He was, wasn't it? But He wasn't. You see, Jesus said here, if I can find it and read it for you again in Luke, where were we? Anybody remember?
Chapter 11.
Verse 42 says, "But woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God." Now, can you read that? "These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Huh?
Do both.
Well, look what Jesus said. He said, "I come to make a new commandment." Amen. Jesus said the greatest of all commandments was what? Love. Love the Lord thy God. The second was what?
Love
thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. You say, well, we're just going to preach love. We're not going to preach any of this sin stuff and condemning people stuff. And we don't want fear to be a motive in our service. Now listen, you've messed up. When you take the fear of God out of your gospel plan of salvation, you won't have a gospel anymore. The good news is that the bad news ain't. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's bad grammar. That's all right. When you preach, you can use any kind of grammar you want.
Yeah.
Amen. Boys, you better learn. And by the way, that's my favorite subject, by the way. I've earned the right to use bad grammar. Listen to me, though. Was Jesus saying that? No way. Let me read a verse to you. I just found this verse. I've read it hundreds of times, but it never appeared to me like this. Ecclesiastes 7:18. Listen to this. "It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all."
Yep.
So you're telling me, you say, "Preacher, times are tough, and I'll just, you know, I'm just going to hold on to my tithe, and I'm just going to keep it." And it's not yours to hold on to, by the way.
That's right.
It's the Lord's.
As long as it's God.
Now, I'm only going to be here for a point because I want to illustrate something to you. Some of you are already nervous. So I'll move on here in a minute. I'll get back to the love of God in just a minute. But I love you. And you say, "Preacher, times are tough. And you know, I've got to take matters into my own hand. He that loveth God, take hold of this. He that feareth God shall come forth of them all." Amen. I didn't get many amens. That's right. I said I would.
Amen.
I forgot. Listen. Leviticus 20, you said, "Preacher, that's the Old Testament." Yeah, so is breathing. I said that the other night.
Yeah.
Leviticus, by the way, God is still God, and God is worthy of our fear and our respect. Amen?
Amen. Right.
The Bible says that the tithe, not, I do know some grammar, I told you a minute ago. It doesn't say the tithe was the Lord's. It says the tithe is the Lord's. Amen? Leviticus 27:30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." Verse 31 says, "And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed." Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." And verse 9 says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." But listen, don't misunderstand this morning. Don't miss the point. The tithe is the Lord's. And Jesus used that. That's why I'm using it. He used that to say to them, He said, "You do all that." He said, "You ought to."
Mm-hmm.
They tithed on their herbs. They precise every bit of their increase. They brought the first fruits to the Lord. They did that.
Yeah.
But Jesus said to them, he said, those things ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Amen?
Right.
Can y'all breathe just for a minute? Man, the preacher preached about tithing this morning. The lights are on. I like to keep them on. Amen.
That's right.
And listen, unless we as a church love God enough to work together to support the work of God, we won't be able to keep the lights on. Did you know that?
That's right.
So, well, let's call the government. Okay. We'll get a check from them to help keep the work. They really love the work of God in this old grand old government of ours.
Yeah.
But listen, hey, you say, preacher, how in the world are we going to keep our church going? How are we going to keep the doors open? The economy's tough. How are we going to do it? We're going to trust God, obey God, fear God, and come forth for them all. That's how we'll do it. We'll do
That's
it
God's right.
way.
Amen.
Now listen, I want to talk to you about what I want you to understand is this. I hope you understand that too. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk to you about the other just for a minute. The other, he's talked about a word called justice. How important is justice? Proverbs 21:3 says, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Listen to me, church. To do justice, this right here. Hey, listen, you say, preacher, I do everything that book says. I tithe and my income, and boy, I do everything God said. Won't you let God be the judge of how good a Christian you are?
Mm-hmm.
You see, a whole lot of God's people have fallen into this mode of thinking that we're good Christians. I'm going to tell you something. The best Christian in this room is probably not the best Christian in this room.
Yeah, if you think you are.
If you think you're the best Christian in this room, I hate to tell you, you're probably not the best Christian. You might be. But you see, when you get to thinking, am I better than my neighbor? Am I a better Christian than Brother Mullins? Or is he a better Christian than me? What am I doing? I'm entering into judgment.
Yep.
Who is the judge, by the way?
God.
Let me tell you what, the number one problem that you folks have, the number one frustration we have is we sit in God's seat of judgment and we try to judge other people.
Yep. Right.
The Bible talks about a thing called the lot. How many of you have neighbors? Do your neighbors do everything you want them to do?
No.
You know, it's not my, they've got these societies, all this stuff today. Everybody worries about everybody else's neighbors. You know what? I'm just glad I got a place to live. Amen.
Amen.
If I go to my house and all my neighbors decide to put mowing their grass and everybody, I don't care. They can do what they cut a path they want to. But I just don't like it. Just let me take care of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, there may come some things they do that I don't like very much. And if my neighbors play their music too loud, I just go in the house and turn on some preaching and play it loud. Amen. Because
yeah.
That's my yard. If I don't like what they're doing, I'll just do what I want to do. Amen. I'll turn on some good old gospel music and just say, that's contentious. Well, let me be wrong if I want to be.
Yeah.
Listen, understand this. It's not my place to look and say, I think I'm better than Brother Mullins. Nor is it my place to be self-debasing and say, you know what, I'm no good. I'll never be the man Brother Mullins is. Judgment is judgment.
That's right.
Whether it's self-promotion or self-debasing,
amen.
God said don't do it. Now listen, I'm going somewhere and you understand why I'm going there in just a minute. Listen. He said do justice. Let God be judge. Is he the judge? He is the judge. He's my judge. Listen, if God is my judge and Brother Mullins is not my judge, and if God is his judge and I'm not his judge, then the beautiful thing about judgment and justice is all of a sudden, when he ceases to be my judge and I cease to be his judge, then all of a sudden I realize who the judge is.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's only some. He only knows about me pretty much, except unless you were here in Sunday school. Amen. And even then you wrote down those pieces of paper. You only wrote down the things you wanted people to know. You think I'm going to write down the things I don't want you to know, you better have a...
Amen.
You ain't got enough money. Amen. Just forget about it. But listen, you see, that's the way we are. We want man's judgment is perverted. I may try to change his judgment and tell him certain things about me because I want him to think us, and he's limited in how much of the truth he really knows about me. But listen to me. God knows everything about every one of us. And if our desire is to please men more than God, then we become just like the scribes and the Pharisees and all the rest of them. Because after a while, we'll get to thinking we're better than somebody else. Let me tell you one of the things that ruins churches is people come in and start judging each other. You know, when you come to church, just be glad you're in the house of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Listen, I can come in here and I can pick my brother or sister apart. Hey, if you want to say something to somebody, say it to them. Amen. Say it to them. But listen, hey, I heard a preacher say this the other day, and probably one of the most important things, the truest things I ever heard. He said, we all jump on the television and say the television's ruined America. Probably the television hadn't ruined America. Probably the telephone's done more to ruin America. Because people get on the telephone and start talking about people and running people down. And God said, when you read the Word of God, you'll find that God says more about this right here,
the tongue,
than any other thing in the Bible.
God
said about the tongue, it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It's a fire, it's set on, how does it say?
Fire of iniquity.
Fire of hell. It's a fire of iniquity set on fire of hell. It's a burning. Now, judgment is whenever I let God be judge. And whenever I realize that He's my judge. And whenever I begin to live my life in such a way that I'm so concerned, not about what you think about me, but what does God think about me? Now, let me take that to another level. My wife knows things about me that nobody else knows. I could be, as many are, I could be two different people. You ask her, I think she'll tell you I'm me. Ask my kids, I think they'll tell you I'm pretty much me. Sometimes I'm too much me here, amen? Sometimes I'm too transparent maybe, but I'm not trying to be two people. I'm not one person at church and somebody else in my home. Mm-mm. You ask my wife. I pay her to tell you what I want her to say. You ask her. Hey, she wants to collect her $50 bill. You ask her. Make sure I hear you ask her, because I want to hear that she gives the right answer. And then she'll get her money. No, listen. You ask. Hey, and by the way, she's the same. Amen?
Amen. That's good.
And that's the way we ought to be. Mm-hmm. Amen? You know why? Because I'm not trying to make you think I'm somebody. I want God, who is the judge, to know what I am.
Yes.
You see, there's times we don't see each other. But God sees everything.
Every day. Right.
He knows everything.
Yep.
And God puts judgment and justice way up here, because if we get the right attitude about judgment and justice, I heard a preacher say one time this. He was having this debate with people, and he said, in this day of social media and 24-hour day news coverage, we all better watch what we're doing, man. That lasted on me about 5 seconds, and I told him, I said, buddy, I said, you've not read your Bible very good. I said, because the Bible says that the bird of the air can tell the matter. I said, you think there ever was a day you could, you think God checks my Facebook page to see what I'm up to? He doesn't check yours or mine. He doesn't ask Fox News to send a reporter to my house. He sees and knows everything about us. And when we get that down and quit living in such a way where we're judging each other or being judged by one another, it'll change our life. Amen.
That's right. God is omniscient.
And Jesus was trying to teach that to these people. They had become judgers of other men. And they walked around with their phylacteries. And the one prayed, you remember the story, prayed. And he said, thank God I'm not like that man. See, that's real. We hear that, but we don't apply it to ourselves. But too many of us as Christians, we've gotten there. And here's what happened.
happen. When we get there, Brother Mullins, we cease to grow as Christians because all of a sudden we become satisfied with ourselves. But if we realize who the judge is and who God is and who we are, then our life until the day we die, we're going to live our life trying to please Him and honor Him. And all the time He can grow us. Because God can reprove us and correct us and make us different. Amen. That's important. Listen, do you want to please God?
Yes, sir.
Do you want the God of heaven to be satisfied? Or are you just going to put your bike up if He stands there with a belt telling you to do it? Now, Travis is a good boy. Someday, when he's about 45 years old, he's going to jump out of bed. Whoa, what a day! I just can't wait. What is it I want to do today? Do I want to go ride my bike? Nah, not yet. Do I want to go in the woods? In a little bit. First of all, I know what I want to do. I want to go get the trash out. Because Mama likes it. Now someday that's going to happen. Amen? Now listen. Wouldn't it be something if we as Christians would get that way with God where we wanted to do what God wants us to do? Rather than just do it so people can see us doing it and so that God can see that we're afraid not to do it. Now listen to me. Now let me tell you something else. Jesus was pretty pointed in His preaching. He said what was the other? Judgment, mercy. And then He singled out, He said, the love of God. He's talking about doing something. He said He wants us to do the love of God. Hear that? My wife is from Midwest area, and you know they like bratwurst up there. Bratwurst. And instead of eating bratwurst, they do bratwurst. I said, "How do you do it? What do you mean do bratwurst? What does that mean?" I said, "Let's eat them, man. I don't want to, you know, hit each other with them." But listen, He says, "Do the love of God." I about made a hillbilly out of her. Now I start eating them. Amen. He said, do the love of God. You hear that? Now that's pretty big stuff right here. You ever eat ice cream? You ever made ice cream? Homemade? You ever had homemade ice cream?
Yeah.
In the thing? You put all that stuff in there. When is it ice cream? We just walk around and say, boy, that sure is good ice cream in there. I tell you what, that is some of the best ice cream I ever thought about. When is it ice cream? When it comes out and you're eating it, amen? You leave it in there, it ain't nothing. It may not be any good at all, just based on the fact that you think it's in there. And you say, well, I love God. Well, I tell you what, if it's anybody who loves God, I love God. And people just walk around saying, He loves God, He said He does. But Brother Mullins, they want to know if there's any ice cream in there.
There you go.
Because if there's a love for God in there, that love is going to come out of it once in a while.
Manifesting.
And it's going to manifest itself and somebody else is going to benefit from it. Amen?
Right.
But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners,
Christ
died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to know something this morning. God loves you.
Amen.
And He wants you to know that He loves you. Yes. And God wants His love to be in you. And God wants to love others
through you.
Through you.
Amen.
You hear that? So you see, we get the wrong idea about Christianity. We think it's just keeping a bunch of rules and walking around saying, well, I never do this and I never do that. We were talking on the way up here, Brother Heath was talking. He was talking about money and how most people live their life worried about a piece of paper with a dead guy's picture on it. A lot of people do, really. But if you'll take that piece of paper, if you'll take that piece of paper, you know who that is right there? George Washington. Tell your teacher tomorrow to teach you that, all right? Listen, George Washington dead a long time. Amen. He's our first president of the United States. Did you know that? All right, take that. Listen, that dollar bill right there, hey, that gets our attention, amen? There was a day when he could do a whole lot with that, amen? Brother Selby used to tell the story about his mom, and he lived over in the mountain here, and he sent him over to the store, and she said, anything you have left over, you can keep it. He had a nickel, 5 cents left over, and he got 5 candy bars.
Wow.
He said he knew if he took them home, he'd have to share them, and he didn't want to share them. He said, so on the way home, I ate them. He said, I got so sick, I almost died. He said, I had to lay on the rock and beg God to let me not die. I can see him eating them right now. You can see it. But listen, this dollar bill right here, it really, God gives us money and stuff like that. It's just a test.
That's right.
Are we just going to use it for ourselves? Or if God allows me, nothing wrong with using that for myself, okay? But if God puts in my path someone that has a need,
there you go,
and I can help them, and I don't, the Bible says, how dwelleth
the love of God,
the love of God in you. Say, preacher, not me. I'm going to hold on to mine. Won't you let God use you to love somebody? Now, this sermon's not about money. It's about loving God.
That's it.
I have one life to live. And there's no greater way I can imagine to live it than letting you. He wants to pocket that money. You hold on to this man.
You have to. Go ahead.
Understand this. I want to read a verse to you. In Titus 2:11, it says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying godliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. First, there's some things we don't do. Then there are some things we do. So don't think that you've satisfied the bill because you don't do some things. God wants us to do. Amen? To do the love of God. You got to see these verses. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John 4, the last part of your Bible. Not the Gospel of John, 1 John. All this, and you're going to get done pretty close to noon. Amen? I think I deserve a couple dollars, Jeremy. Hold on to that. Amen? Listen to me. I love 1 John 4 in some ways. It's tough, too.
Yeah.
Look at verse 7. Would you mind if we read a little Bible?
Read on.
1 John 4, 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. Let me tell you something. This world knows nothing about love.
That's right, preacher.
Unless this world knows God.
That's right.
The only way this world's going to know God is through us who know God.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing we can teach them is that God loved us and gave His Son for us, that He loves them. I know that's tough. I know some of you are so full, not some, but there are some so full of hatred and bitterness, and you've allowed the devil to put you in such enmity and at odds with everybody and everything that your Christianity is all about not liking everybody else.
Bad spirit.
But a bad spirit. That's right. Wrong spirit. Why? Hey, listen, someday God's going to be the judge of all the earth will do right. He's going to pour out His justice upon this earth. But until then, here's what He wants us to do. In this was manifested, verse 9, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
Amen.
Now, you study your grammar there. God's saying, with the comparable love that I have for you, you ought also. If you'll study in John, He said, as I have loved, God said to the Son, He said, as you have loved me, they're supposed to love one another. That's where it adds, is a simile. It means with a similar, same likeness of love, we're to love them as God loved Jesus. Listen,
Verse 12 says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we do dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Well, that's an unusual verse, and I've got to tell you this story. Whenever I was in Bible college, this is an autobiographical part of the sermon. They had a mezzanine in the church. And I used to sit in that mezzanine, and I was like Bert and Ernie, or the judges on the Muppets. I would look at all the other people and think, man, I am so much better than they are. And I was. In my own mind. I mean, I would look at people, and it's easy to do that. I know none of you ever would, but it's easy for Christians to do that. I knew that my daddy had taught me and told me about the grace of God, but it's easy to slip into that trap where you begin to judge other people and look at other people. Now, here's the other thing. Listen, on the same hand, I'm supposed to be a soul winner and go out and witness to people. But it's like some of you and some of us, sometimes we're afraid. God taught me a great lesson. Most of my fear that I have for witnessing the lost people is because I don't love saved people like I ought to. Now listen, God said those people that you're judging, he said, they're in your life. He said, you're supposed to love them. He said, if you'll love them like you ought to love them, he said, you won't fear people so much. Now think about this just for a minute. There were guys that lived on the dorm floor with us, and I didn't like a lot of them. You guys hear this? I didn't like you. But I tell you what, God dealt with my heart about that, and I began to love those guys, be good to them, try to be kind to them. God revolutionized my life whenever I did that, because said to me, he said, you know what? You're going to be a pastor someday and you can't even get along with these guys. How are you ever going to pastor a church? And he was right, especially when I think about Chuck Lewis. I think, if I couldn't love them, how could I ever love a guy like him? Now listen, years ago, those guys, God was teaching me how to put up with them. Never mind. You get the point. But listen, it's so hypocritical. We're going to win the world. We can't even love each other. What? I had a fellow call me. I started playing the message. It made me mad. Guy called me from a church. He said, we're going to New York City. He said, we're going to have a soul winning thing at rally. And he said, now if your church is a real church, if it's a soul winning church, you all come. I wanted to crawl through the phone and smack him in the mouth.
Amen.
That's no way to. I mean, I'm nobody, but that's rude, all right?
That's right.
Listen, if your church is a loving church, your church will be a soul-winning church. If we love each other the way we ought to, and if this church is founded and based upon the principle that Jesus was teaching, he said, you tithe, he said, you do it all right. What was it he told the church at Ephesus? He said, You suffer. He said, you deal with people's sin. He said, you're not compromisers. You check it out. He said, but I have so much
your first love
against you. He said, because you have
left
your first
love.
I'm telling you, there's something to what I'm trying to preach to you. You're going to have to study this out a little bit more. You're going to have to think about this a little bit, but there's something to what I'm trying to say to you this morning. You see, the law was not given that we could judge others. Rather, we can see ourselves as unjust.
As we are.
And we can see that it's Jesus that justifies. And because we love Him, we live for Him.
Amen.
And serve others. Come here for a minute, just a minute, Jeremy. I'm done.
What's your dollar back?
That's your dollar. That's your dollar. All right. Listen. That's your dollar. That's just a dollar. God gave me His only begotten Son.
Uh-huh.
That's more than just a dollar.
Amen.
What a gift that God gave me. I don't think it's too hard if God gave me some rules to live by. Amen.
That's right.
God didn't give me those rules so I could get a big head and boast because of what I do and don't do. Mm-hmm. He gave me those rules so I could please Him and live for Him like I ought to and have a good testimony. But let Him be the judge of whether or not I have a good testimony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also what He did for me was He gave His only begotten Son. He gave me the greatest gift anybody could ever give me. And that ought to overwhelm my life and change my life in such a way that I love Him so much. But I just want everybody to know I love Him. And the only way I can let people know that I love Him, love Him and He loves me, is by loving other people, letting Him love them through me.
Mm-hmm.
To be a conduit for Him.
As you said, be a conduit. That's right.
Thank you, Jeremy. Listen, I'll tell you this one last story. When I was in high school. This is not a boast. This is a high school boy I'm telling you about. He just happened to be named Travis Bradley. But when I was in high school, I began to think about how much God loved me. And that I love Him. I believe husbands and wives, I believe it's a good thing to publicly show the fact that you love one another. Amen.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
And I believe Christians ought to publicly show the fact that they love the Lord and stand for Him. But I was a high school boy, and I started thinking about that. I love God. And you don't have to do this. I don't expect you to do this. But I just said, you know what? I love Him. I don't want to just love Him when no one's looking. I want to love Him and not be ashamed to love Him.
Amen.
So for long, I'd walk to the grocery store with the Mullins and walk to the grocery store, and I'd say, I love you, God. Then I just stopped. Way before there was even a Tim Tebow, I'd stop in the middle of the store, bow my head, and say, "I love you, God," and just get up and walk. I didn't care if anybody saw me. I just wanted to publicly say to God, "I love you." But when we love others, that's God loving them through us. And that's the love of God working in us. And Jesus said to them, He said to these scribes and Pharisees, who were the most notorious characters in the Bible, He said, your fault is. He said, you do all that and you ought to. He said, but the other, He said, the weightier matters, He said, you left undone.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do the love of God. Do the love of God.
Yeah.
If you can help somebody and you don't, how dwell the love of God in you? If you could say a kind word to somebody and you won't, how dwelleth the love of God in you? If you could encourage someone and won't, I'd be careful. Are your words loving words or are they hateful words? I listen sometimes and it makes me sad to hear how hateful our words can be. We need to learn to have loving words.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly